Grace and peace I bring to you from God, our heavenly Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a confession. I really, really wanted to preach on sexual immorality. And I thought about it all week. What could I possibly say to this group that would delight your hearts around a list of sins and barriers to God? And then I thought, no, that's just not going to work. And mostly because the Spirit said, not today, Pastor Jay. Not today. Instead, I want to explore vanity. I love the Ecclesiastes text. For those of you that were aware that there was a non-tyranny book group, the book written by Timothy Snyder back in 2017 happening here, this is part of the dwelling in the Word that we did whenever we gathered together. Vanity of vanities. And that group struggled with it for about 22 weeks. We never really got to a good stage where we could rest in the understanding of the poetry that Coalesce is offering us today. Or Solomon, depending on who you want to believe, wrote this book of poetry. Vanity, in Latin, vanitas, means empty. It means empty. And we hear the writer inviting us into this reality of pride of emptiness. He's talking about generations after you, not really understanding you or the things that you hold dear, whether it be possessions that Jesus talks about, or judgments that Paul talks about. And as I experienced the many things that were happening around our large and dear church this week, I got stuck in the generation space. Recognizing that we are a pretty homogenous group of a specific generation. And one of the things that consistently sits with us, consistently with you, don't get more than in my dear sweet. I am moving into the middle to late stages of my own life. What do we do with the things that are important to us? Who will carry those traditions for us? Who can we invite into this space to say that God's love is a priority and worthy of continuation? A message that should be shared amongst everyone, all of them. And so I wonder, what does it look like when we together think in tandem to all the conversations that are happening throughout the evening in our sibling BLTA congregations about closure or merging or survival? If we sit in a space that invites us to instead recognize those things that are important to us. And I think that I can make a pretty great confidence that we value God's love for us and others. We enjoy the fact that we get to come here every week and hear one more time through various words, songs, or actions amongst us, this group, that God loves you and sees you and hears you and honors you and is in you. I think that's a message of God. And it might be vanity, emptiness, to not do something for that. Now, I don't want to sit here and invite you into a 500-year-old conversation regarding James' epistle of straw and whether or not works are important in the expression or value or gift of grace. What we experience at the altar is a freedom from sin, an opportunity to go and love with reckless abandon. avoiding all the list of things that Paul continues to bring us and say to us through all these letters to other people that we have collected in the Second Testament. An opportunity to check things off of lists. Do not lie to one another. Do not hate. And I can't help but wonder, how is it that the greater church has gotten to a space where we are so comfortable offering judgment that feels like love to us? Right? If I'm not to lie, then I can say with our truth to you in love, right? That's a lie. I can hurt you as long as I care for you in the hurt. I can offer you space to be diminished as long as I have Jesus in my heart. As long as my focus is on the cross, I can say or do anything to you and rest in God's love that I'm not sure. Or show, or invite. Some of you may be aware that the National Church came together with delegates from all over the nation, the 65 synods across the ELC, bringing more than 700 voices together in Phoenix, probably a lamentable place to be in this height of July. Some of you who have been to Phoenix or live in Phoenix in the winter know there's a reason you come back to Michigan. Because it's part of the year. So more than 700 voices gathered to make big decisions about the next 3 years of our lives as a church together. Not only did they elect a new presiding bishop whose bio I will share later, but it's also printed for you out there. We got a new secretary of the church, another delightful human, who I am very excited to see how both of them shape and invite us into God's love for the future. One of the things, though, that they discussed sat heavy on my heart, and I must admit that I did not watch live. I only saw some of the after effects. There was a resolution on the table to increase the number of youth that would be offered opportunity and invitation to attend the next National Assembly in 3 years. And there were quite a few voices that spoke in opposition to that expansion of younger voices and presence. And one woman stood and shared a delightful theological invitation for us to recognize the doubt of youth and how we might in fact just be afraid that what we have offered to them is not good enough. We have not fully expressed to them the width and breadth of God's true and perfect love for all of us regardless. And so how could they possibly? How could they possibly come up and do all of this delightful work together if we haven't taken the time to educate them, to reach out to them, to ensure that their values are carbon copies of our own? And is that what we want? Is that who you are, dear church? Are you carbon copies of the generations who have gone before you? Is your sweet heritage so strong that you speak Swedish in your sleep? That you can read back and you can say, I know why my Swedish ancestors celebrated communion and gave us the gifts that manifested this religion. I know. Do we know? I think we rest in faith that we have an understanding. To say anything else is vanity. It's empty. It means nothing. And so when we think about the fullness of God's love, how are we inviting those younger generations to stand with us? Not behind us. With us. In an opportunity to express the love that you hold dear and celebrate at least once a week. Maybe more. I hope more. Because God tells you Monday through Saturday through systems. God is with you Monday through Saturday, filling up the emptiness that the world would tell you is your reality. What we do here, what we invite here, what we grow into here, what we hope that people experience here is not empty. Unless it's quiet out. So today, as we move into this ending aspect of our worship together, as we begin to close this sacred space, and you maybe sit in a space of curiosity around what it means for you to express what happened here, out there, through those words. When you hear me exclaim, go in peace and share the good news, reflect on what that thanks be to God means to you. And think, who is the younger voice that needs to hear that God loves them? Who needs to be reminded that what we do here in this community is not important? Who needs a wild and radical invitation to recognize that you love them because God loves you? Amen.